But first, a look at the hidden brain. It's the title of a new book by Washington Post science writer Shankar Vedantam. It's a study of how a great deal of our thinking, in fact, far more than we realize, is shaped by our unconscious minds.
Just try and think about the first time you started learning to drive a car. I have a friend, actually, who is just learning to drive a car. She's an adult. And, you know, she's gripping the steering wheel. She's peering intently for cars that are approaching. She's trying to process the changing of the lights. And it's an extremely stressful and anxious process. And it's stressful and anxious because when you're learning a new skill, the entire activity is happening at a conscious level. When I'm driving a car, or when your listeners are driving a car and listening to you on the radio, they're not thinking about driving the car at all. That doesn't mean necessarily they're driving the car recklessly. It just means that there's a part of their brain that has essentially taken over the driving of the car. And that's what I call the hidden brain.
You know, this makes sense to me in so many ways, that the example of driving, I can think of examples of athletes, for instance, who will say after a game that they were better because they stopped thinking about what it was that they were going to do. Where this begins to be of some concern, though, is when you talk about ethical decisions. There's a study of office workers who are on the honor system to pay for the coffee that they get from the company machine. Maybe it would be best for you to describe it.
So this was an experiment conducted in an office in England where a beverage station was located in a private area of the office where if people paid for their tea and coffee, no one complimented them, and if they didn't pay for their tea and coffee, no one caught them. A psychologist changed a little notice that was pasted at eye level at this beverage station that laid out the price of tea and coffee. And there was a small decorative image on the top of the sheet of paper. And she changed the image from week to week so that on some weeks, the image showed pictures of flowers, roses, tulips, and so on. And on alternate weeks, the pictures showed a pair of watching eyes. And when she finished the experiment after 10 weeks, she asked people if they had noticed that this picture was changing from week to week, and no one had even noticed that there was a picture on top of this notice. And yet this small intervention produced a giant effect on people's honesty levels in paying for their tea and coffee. On weeks when the picture showed a pair of watching eyes, honesty levels soared. And when pictures showed flowers and roses, honesty levels plummeted. And what this experiment tells me is that without their awareness, something in these people's minds was noticing that there was a picture and noticing that the picture showed a pair of watching eyes. And because the hidden brain is fundamentally a dumb system, it's not a sophisticated system, it's a dumb system, it thought of the pair of watching eyes, the picture of the eyes, as being a real pair of eyes. And it prompted the people to behave as if they were really being watched.
A lot of these things seem to be related to our interaction with others. There was a study that you quoted of how much people tip in restaurants, and the results of that were a surprising revelation as well.
That's right. This was an experiment that was conducted in the Netherlands. A researcher got a waitress at a restaurant to mimic her customers. So when they placed an order at the restaurant, she repeated the order back verbatim so that she was repeating exactly the same words that the customers had said. And the psychologist found that when she did this, the size of her tips went up astronomically. That somehow when people felt that what they said was being reflected back to them perfectly and accurately, they felt somehow better listened to, even compared to situations where the waitress delivered exactly the order as the customers had wanted, but didn't sort of mimic what they said when they were placing the order.
This is one thing when you're talking about whether the coffee gets paid for, and mostly it does, or whether the waitress gets an 18% tip or a 20% or a 25% tip. It's more serious when there are issues involved that can have long-lasting impact. I mean, there's some pretty serious social and political consequences that come from this, aren't there?
Where the hidden brain becomes really insidious is when we're making decisions that affect the lives of many other people, when in the question of moral judgment, for example, or in the question of politics. Ahead of the 2008 presidential election, researchers conducted an experiment where they evaluated whether people felt at an unconscious level that Barack Obama was an American. And it was a very interesting experiment because at a conscious level, these volunteers would all have told you that Barack Obama was indeed American. But at an unconscious level, the researchers found that people were more likely to associate the former British Prime Minister Tony Blair with being American than Barack Obama. In other words, they were willing to think about a white person as being American much more than a non-white person who was an American, even though they knew at a conscious level that Tony Blair was a British politician and Barack Obama was an American. And the reason this is powerful is that the researchers also showed that people who at an unconscious level were less likely to see Obama as being American were less likely to vote for him in the Democratic primary and in the general election, even if they agreed with him on all the policy issues. The unconscious bias effectively drove these voters' positions on the candidate.
It suggests that you feel we are all essentially prejudiced, racist, whether we know it or not.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that we all have unconscious associations kicking around in our heads. I'm not sure necessarily I would say that we're all racist, because in some ways, racism, I think, is what people do. It's what people say. It's actions that constitute racism, not thoughts. The point of my book is not to convict people of thought crimes. It's really to get people to understand that what happens in the unconscious plays a role in people's everyday activities.
This also suggests that a clever politician could, knowing this, manipulate the way people are going to perceive not only his or her candidacy, but his or her opponents.
I think that's true. And I think this can work in both positive and in negative ways. And I think it's also true that political campaigns are far more aware of these biases than are most voters. During the 2008 election, you could also argue that the Obama campaign in some ways managed to turned down the temperature on the question of race using some very interesting and subtle techniques. I'm not sure how much of what they did was intentional, but one of the things that Obama never did was he never confronted the issue of racism head on. He did make that famous speech in Philadelphia, but apart from that, even when voters explicitly said that they would not vote for a black man, the Obama campaign never came out and said, look, I'm being treated unfairly. Look, racism is still alive and well in the United States. Rather, the campaign always called people to their better angels and said, look, we have really come to transcend race. We are a better people than we are. And there's a lot of new and interesting research that suggests that when it comes to dismantling unconscious biases, these sideways approaches, if you will, are far more effective than the head-on approach of telling someone, I think you're behaving in a racist manner. Because if bias is unconscious, telling somebody that they are racist is ineffective because they look inside their hearts and don't find evidence of racism and then feel offended that you're accusing them of something that they know isn't true.
Shankar Vedantam is a Washington Post reporter. His book is called The Hidden Brain.